In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The physical creation mirrors the recreation in Christ. God ordered his world to preach Christ. It's no accident, then, that light scatters darkness, for Christ is the light of the world. It's no coincidence that the earth came out of water, for through holy baptism, your dusty body has been saved. And plants aren't just some beautiful, beneficial life forms on this earth, but Christ himself is the true vine, the tree of life, and we are the branches who are grafted into him. Creation preaches and points us to Jesus. So we read the Old Testament as historical facts, which lead us to Christ, which reveals Christ to us. So evolution does far more than simply damage historical facts. It actually damages the gospel itself. As I said in past weeks, so I say again, that the historical creation mirrors the recreation in Christ. So with that in mind, we turn our attention to the fourth day. May God grant us grace. God creates in sets of three. Beginning today, he retraces his steps over the first through day, 3 days, filling in what was still lacking. So we're back to darkness. We're back to light. Today he creates light sources, light bearers. Until today, the light simply existed in and of itself. But today he creates three sources for light: the sun, the moon, and the stars. Light does not need them. In fact, light would be perfectly fine without them, as the first 3 days showed. But God creates these three light sources to have a purpose: to separate day from night, to give light to the earth, and to mark the passage of time. And so it was the fourth day. Notice how everything is created for the earth, even the celestial bodies. They are created for the benefit of the earth. The earth is not the physical center of the universe, but it certainly is the center of God's heart. God created everything so life on earth might flourish, particularly so man on earth might flourish. All of creation is a gift by God given to man, and that includes those distant galaxies billions of light years away. As Adam's sin ruined creation on earth, so also it wrecked the celestial bodies as well. Sin has affected them. St. Paul writes, "Creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay." And so we say, stars die. Even they don't last forever, but they have a set lifespan, and then they die. They burn out, begin to decay and decompose, as is fitting for a star. Sin has its grip on them as well. Later on, St. Paul writes, the whole creation has been groaning. The whole creation, not just part of creation on this earth, but all of creation suffers the effects of sin. The whole creation, and certainly the heavens, the stars, outer space, certainly they also are part of God's creation. All these things were created for the benefit of the earth. They all were blanketed by man's sin, and they all are eagerly awaiting the day when the redemption of our bodies, the resurrection on the last day. The sun foreshadows Christ. He is the light of the world. As the sun rises in the east every single morning, so Christ himself has been raised on Easter morning, not in the evening, but he has been raised Easter morning. For he alone can scatter the darkness of sin and unbelief. He has left death, hell, and darkness in the grave. He has defeated Satan, and now his flesh shines with the brightness of the eternal Godhead. He is forever transfigured, his face shining brighter than 10,000 suns. He alone can bring joyful warmth of forgiveness to our weary hearts. Where he shines, no darkness resides. Where he gives light, no one can die. Christ is everything for us. As the physical sun is everything for the earth, so Christ is everything for us. To whom shall we go? Christ and Christ alone has the words of eternal life. He cheers our hearts as we bask in his forgiving rays. He points our footsteps, lights our path on our journey toward heaven. He is everything. Christ is everything for us. The moon foreshadows the prophets and the apostles. They testify of Christ. They preach Christ to a sin-filled world. As the moon reflects the light of the sun, so the prophets and apostles reflect the forgiveness of Christ. They reflect Christ to this earth. And they are still teaching us. For directed by God, these prophets and apostles wrote the Holy Scriptures so that you might know the glory of Christ, so that you might believe in Christ and be saved on the day when the Lord returns. They were not chosen because they were great orators or had great skill, but they were chosen solely by grace. God did not need them, but he chose them by grace. For what is Peter? What is Paul? Nothing more than servants of Christ through whom you believe. So we will not move from their testimony of Christ. We will not move from their witness. That is, we will not move from the Holy Scriptures. For that word of God reveals Christ most clearly to us. The stars foreshadow all those who are in the office of the holy ministry, that is, pastors. They have been charged with one task, revealing Christ to a sin-darkened world. Some shine more brightly than others, but all shine with the light of Christ. Their strength is not that of the sun or even the moon, but still all are to preach Christ. As light in the beginning did not need the sun, moon, or stars, so also God does not need pastors. But out of grace, he ties this light of the gospel to this office. He puts Christ in their mouth and on their hands so that the world might be relieved from its cold darkness. They are not the smartest or the best or the brightest, but they are Christ's instruments. They are light bearers in this sin-dark world. He chose them out of grace, and the faint light that they give off is really the light of Christ. It is not their own, but it is Christ they are to preach. Light, the purpose of these heavenly bodies, is to give light. So the purpose of God's ministers is to preach Christ. They are not simply to talk about Christ, but they are to give Christ. So Christ comes through their mouth, bringing the warm rays of forgiveness. Christ comes from their hands, warming your heart. What good is the moon when it refuses to shine? What good are stars when they die and no longer give light? So what good are pastors who refuse to preach Christ? How can the deeds of darkness be exposed? How can calloused hearts be warmed? How can weary souls be comforted? So let those who preach, preach Christ. Let those who serve, serve Christ. Without the light of Christ, we walk around in darkness, confused and blind, thinking we know where we are going, but really we're lost. But when the light shines on you, then you receive all the blessings of that light. So when Christ shines on you, you receive all the blessings of Christ, his forgiveness, life, and salvation, deliverance from death and the devil, freedom, joy, and gladness, peace, hope, and heaven. When Christ shines on you, you see where you are going and where your path ends. When Christ shines on you, you see just all that he has done for you. So when you live in the light of Christ, there is nothing to fear, not in the past, not in the future, not even in the grave. For the light of Christ pierces even the dark grave. So in the beginning, God created light bearers to give light on the earth. This teaches us that by his holy ministry, God himself shines on us. And yet when the sun comes out, all other heavenly bodies disappear. So also when Christ returns, all prophets, apostles, and pastors will stop. There will be no more. So only in the end, in heaven, Only will the Son of Righteousness give you light. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.